Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
All right, so the available choices in today's primary are really different than they were this time last week. In fact, over a period of about 48 hours from Saturday to Monday, it seems like pretty much everything changed in the Democratic primary. That's when Joe Biden won South Carolina by big numbers.
And if the Democrats want a nominee who's a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat, a proud Democrat, an Obama-Biden Democrat, join us.
Well, join him they did. Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar dropped out of the race Sunday and Monday. And then Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and former candidate Beto O'Rourke all endorsed Joe Biden in Texas last night. Senator Bernie Sanders isn't backing down from that show of force.
And let me be very clear. It is no surprise. They do not want me to become president because our administration will transform this country to create an economy and a government that works for all of the people, not just the 1%. It will not be the same old, same old.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren isn't dropping out either. So, pretty big shift in a very short period of time. How and why? And what does it mean? Let's get some help sorting that out. We've got Boston Globe political reporter James Pindle here with us in Studio 3. James, thanks for being with us.
Have a Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday. And joining us from the WBUR Dorchester Bureau is Bill Forey, editor and publisher of the Dorchester Reporter. Is it a Super Tuesday for you, Bill?
So far, all Super right. Tuesday all the way.
There you go. And are you, listeners, as curious as we are? Do you have theories about what happened in the last couple of days? Is it good or bad for the Democratic Party? And who do you see as the front runner now? Call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. All right, gentlemen, it feels like a lot of change really fast. Bill, is it?
Yes. The ground's changed here a bit. What we're watching for locally in Dorchester and Mattapan is to see just how is this going to affect the vote for Elizabeth Warren in particular, and for Joe Biden, and for Bernie Sanders. Sanders in 2016 did fairly well in Boston. He won about 41% of the vote in the city, even though he lost to Hillary Clinton. He won a number of precincts in that year in Dorchester, in places like Savin Hill and in Neponset. So we'll be watching carefully tonight to see what those numbers say. How well can Joe Biden do in places like Neponset, where he would traditionally do well in a neighborhood like that? We're going to be watching those vote totals come in carefully.
What about you, James? What do you think?
Look, tonight's going to solve some three related questions. After tonight, are we going to have a one-person race, a two-person contest, or a three-person contest? And if it's a three-person contest, who is that third person? I think a lot of us accept the premise that right now we are headed towards something like a Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, maybe a two-person contest. Maybe Sanders just crushes it tonight. But who's in third? Is it exactly Mike Bloomberg? That's a lot of people think. But I think there's a compelling argument that at the end of tonight, we could be shocked and find ourselves that Elizabeth Warren is that third person.
Why do you say that?
Well, look, this thing is, as candidates get out of the race, obviously it helps everyone still in the race. In her particular case, Amy Klobuchar got out of the race. She was the only other woman in this contest. It is now consolidated support for those folks who want to see a woman on the ticket, not just two straight white guys, or in this case, three straight white guys, if you include Mike Bloomberg, old straight white guys, by the way. And second, Pete Buttigieg, you know, if you're going to tell me that Buttigieg's support goes 50% for Biden and 50% for Warren, I would not be shocked. I mean, after all, they do share a base of educated white liberal voters. So in that case, this could be a pretty good night for Elizabeth Warren in a way that people may not predict. But obviously, what we're going to be watching here is how big is the delicate net gain for Bernie Sanders tonight. It could be huge. It could be not huge. And that's obviously going to set the table here. But it's obviously going to be a good night for him.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Gwen, you are on with Bill Forey and James Pindle. Gwen's calling from Cambridge. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say, on this show just a moment ago, and I was happy to hear Elizabeth Warren mentioned by the analyst, but show after show after show, on NPR, on TV, all over, I hear this throwaway line, Elizabeth Warren's still in the race. If she's mentioned at all, it's just she's still in the race. And no discussion of the fact that only 3% of the delegates have been allocated so far, and it's crazy to talk about front runners and winners, and Joe Biden, after winning one state when she beat him in two states, that it's a done deal. It's not a done deal. We, the voters, have a right to have our say and vote.
Thank you for that, Gwen. I'm going to add one more call, and then we'll come back to our panelists. We've got Dave on the line from Malden. Dave, you're on. What's on your mind?
Sure. I want to just add to that point that we, the voters, do decide, but the DNC doesn't seem to like that. And so Buttigieg and Klobuchar, it just seems like they're going along endorsing Joe Biden. And you'll probably call it a fringe, but it just seems like ass-kissing, and that's how the DNC rolls.
Dave, we're gonna move on to our panelists here. Let me start with Bill Forey and the first call. What about this idea that Elizabeth Warren is getting discounted when most of the race is still yet to happen?
Right. Well, listen, we're not discounting anything until we see these numbers come in tonight. But I will say that, you know, this is a high stakes day for her. This is Warren country where I'm at right now. Traditionally, going back to 2012, she won 80% of the city, 83% of the Dorchester vote, 96% of the Mattapan vote in 2012. But that was against Scott Brown. In 2018, her big wins here, 80%. Win in Boston was over Jeff Deal. She won everything but one precinct in my neighborhood. But this is a different field, and Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders both will not perform at Jeff Deal level. Just how much attrition we'll see into the Warren country here is to be seen. But I did talk to voters today who were moved, for example, by Amy Klobuchar. I talked to one voter, a retired Boston police officer, who said he was going to vote for Klobuchar and now is having to make up his mind and was influenced by her endorsement of Joe Biden last night. So with this kind of dynamic and fluidity in this race, I think there's every reason to believe, and also by poll numbers, WBUR's most recent poll was indicated that Warren was behind Sanders. So it's a high-stakes day for her. She really does have to win her home state, in my view, to continue on.
So, James, what about the other call on that expression of sort of distrust of Joe Biden, or this sense that, boy, this happened really fast, and are we sure this is the guy? You know, it did happen fast. There was just a bam, bam, from Saturday morning to today. Other candidates coalesced or condensed behind Biden. But what about the electorate?
I'm a reporter. I share the skepticism of anyone who has skepticism. And I also share the amount of whiplash that we all just had in the last 48 hours. At the same time, if you want to listen to go back to the tape of what Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and I don't even know exactly what Beto O'Rourke has been saying in the last couple of weeks. But if you look at what Buttigieg and Klobuchar have been saying after debate after debate after debate, it's entirely consistent with what they did last night in Dallas when they endorsed Joe Biden. They do not believe that Bernie Sanders is someone who can win in the fall. You may disagree with that. But the idea that it's rigged, the idea that somehow they are going against what they've been saying for months is just not true. And if they really do believe it, you can actually push it the other way and say, if you really believe that Bernie Sanders cannot be the nominee because it's going to hurt people down ballot, then what are you going to do about it? You can't just sit on the sidelines and let Bernie Sanders get a huge, almost insurmountable lead after Super Tuesday. You got to act, and you got to act now. I think it's entirely consistent.
Okay, so Bill and James, I'm channeling the callers that we often get who are supporters of Bernie Sanders here saying, okay, that's a lot of saying he shouldn't be the nominee, and he's going to be bad, and he's going to make people lose down-ticket races.
I don't know. I don't accept the premise. I'm just giving their argument.
You're right. So I guess two things, and Bill, I'll let you go first. One, he's still the strongest candidate in the race, numbers-wise, right now. And two, what's sort of the strategy of the Democratic Party? I know it's early yet. Our caller reminded us that it's early to be discounting Elizabeth Warren, for example. But say this thing does sew up for Bernie Sanders. What's the strategy in the general at that point?
Well, I think right now what the voters I talked to today and also some of the elected officials who are deciding what to do themselves. There was an elected official, Dan Hunt, in our neighborhood who was with Deval Patrick. he's not a Bernie Sanders voter. He came out for Joe Biden yesterday. And I think what they're all starting to think about, and I would label these as moderate Dems definitely, are, you know, I think they are afraid that this could be leading to a brokered convention. I don't think anyone thinks this is over tonight by any means. Joe Biden's momentum has really kicked in over the weekend. So I think that there is a growing anxiety among Democrats I talk to here that they're concerned that could be a disaster. One person who's notable that we haven't talked about yet is Mayor Marty Walsh. He didn't come out for a candidate, and I think that's an indicator not only of his split decision. I think he would either be with Warren or with Biden. By the way, he's not publicly with either one. That says a lot for the mayor of the capital city here in Massachusetts to essentially sit this one out. It's I think an indicator of where we are at the moment. There's a lot of votes to come in, to your caller's point, and even some major elected officials are sitting back to wait to see what that tells us tonight.
All right, let's take a couple more calls. We've got Marilyn on the line from Newton. Marilyn, go ahead.
Well, thank you. I wanted to say that I listened to Biden's speech, and I was really very surprised and somewhat shocked and very dismayed that immediately the whole rest of the Democratic Party jumped on, oh, he's our candidate. I listened to that speech. It was an excellent speech. It was all slogans about what he's going to do, what he's going to do. We heard no plans. We heard no emphasis on a direction. That was number one.
Marilyn, I'm just going to take number one only because our lines are full up and I want to make sure to get more than one caller. Thank you for that. And we will address it. I also want to put Dave on the line from Roslindale. Dave, go ahead.
Hi. I was wondering what to think of the effect of early voting is going to be for people who already voted before the announcements over the weekend. I know quite a few people who voted early. I'm guessing a lot of their votes aren't going to really matter. I just wonder how much that's going to play into tonight.
All right, thanks for that, Dave. And actually, I'm going to take these in reverse order. James, what I've heard so many people say in the last couple of days, like Dave, wow, this early voting thing has really complicated the situation we're in.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a huge argument for early voting. It's believed that it can increase voter turnout. This is the one very big example where you should not early vote if you can all avoid it. This is the presidential primary where things are moving. In the general election this fall, you know the candidates. You probably know your decision. That's fine. This is not that case. The net effect to the answer to the question is this is good for Bernie Sanders. Any person who voted early, it's good for Bernie Sanders. Obviously, he has had an operation in a number of states, particularly in California, where 20% of the vote is already in, by the way, to get out his people for the early vote. So that's one plus. The second plus for him is that they are disproportionately going to mess up Joe Biden's momentum, right? If anyone who voted for Pete Buttigieg or Amy Klobuchar or anyone who voted not for Joe Biden, who they now think if you're a moderate is the choice, if that's the case, the net effect for early voting is to help Bernie Sanders.
Okay. And Bill Forey, we heard Marilyn from Newton say, I am not sold yet. You know, she not a big fan of what she heard from Joe Biden in that last big speech he gave. We've got callers saying, you know, don't discount Elizabeth Warren. So let's take four people: Biden, Bloomberg, Warren, and Sanders. What is a message that any one of the four of them could bring forward in the next few weeks that might unify the party behind one candidate at the convention?
Listen, I think what Biden did well last night and over the weekend was to really channel his connection to Barack Obama. That's the big endorsement that's out there, right? And it's likely to go to him. Let's be honest, if he's still in the game, closing on the convention, and that's a card that needs to be played, I think you're going to see it rolled out. He keeps using the Obama-Biden-Democrat mantra. I think, actually, in the voters I talk to today oftentimes brought it up, that Barack Obama is still, to them, the leader of this party. And until somebody else is nominated this year, obviously it was Hillary Clinton last time, but Obama is still ringing out. And that definitely helps Biden in the South. It'll help him, I think, in communities here in Boston as well today.
Okay, I want to make sure to get at least one Bernie caller voice in before we end this segment. Nicholas, you are up from Linfield, Massachusetts.
Yes, hi. Yes, I am a Bernie supporter. I've been voting Democrat with the Democratic Party for the last 20 years. I've been here in Boston. I've been living here for about 30 years. But since I became citizen.
And why are you supporting Biden now, Nicholas? Sanders now, Nicholas.
No, I'm supporting Sanders because you guys should give the guy a chance. You spread a lot of fear mongering the same way as the Republicans do. And that's a guy that, at least if you guys talk about his accomplishments throughout the years, people can understand.
Okay, we're going to take it from you there. So what about accomplishments, lists of accomplishments, and what they carry in this race right now, James?
Well, that's not what we're voting on. Let's be clear.
Bill, do you agree?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
That's right. This is aspirational at this point, but
exactly.
It does. I mean, look, it does matter. They all have that, though. They all of these candidates are well suited for this, and it's an excellent field of candidates. I think that's why there is such split decisions going on, and that to the earlier point about whether early voting is a good idea in a primary like this, the answer is no. Voters keep bringing it up to us today. They wish that they had. Not some of them. There was only 13,000 early votes in Boston, but still, those are votes that can't be recast.
All right, let me give it to James for a last word here.
So it'll be very quick. Bernie Sanders, for all the talk about he can't win, yada, 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 he right now is the most likely person to be the Democratic nominee. He has the most, he doesn't have the best path, he doesn't have an obvious path, but he has the most obvious path, if that makes any sense, versus any other Democrat right now.
All right, that is Boston Globe reporter James Pindle. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And at the WBUR Dorchester Bureau, Bill Forey, editor and publisher of the Dorchester Reporter. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks.
And stay tuned tonight to WBUR for our live coverage of as the polls come back from Super Tuesday. Meanwhile, stay tuned. There's more ahead. We will take your calls and questions on the coronavirus. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.